I'm gay, but how do I tell my cat?
Tell her she reminds you of your mom.
If I had a million boogers.
This feels transactional, and that's weird.
And it's me speaking from an extreme point of privilege.
Or if you were coming to hit on me.
Buy a bunch of books from people you hate.
You want more advice, dole it out gladly. You want bad advice, man, I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Hey everybody on the internet, this is Chesco, the speech prof, and this is Bad Advice Wednesdays, the show where myself and a friend, I guess, intentionally try to ruin your life with bad advice. But you knew that when you submitted these questions, so there should be no legal implications there. But today I have, I think the person I've known the shortest amount of time so far to appear, about like a month or so ago, I think I connected with Shay or Shade Ain't So. On TikTok, and I just fell in love with her content. I thought the work she was doing and the education she was doing was just absolutely phenomenal. And I knew right away, I was like, I wonder if she'd want to be on my podcast. But I had to slow play it, become friends first, and then and then ask her to come on. No, but we've quickly, I think I've started to really connect with her content and what she does online. And I'd love for you to get to know her a little bit more before we go about ruining your life. And so, Shay, this is, I guess, the opportunity for you to introduce yourself to my followers. And so if they were to stumble onto your page after the show or just randomly, what should they be expecting to see?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored. It was an easy response to the ask. It was very cool. I've never done anything like this before.
Awesome.
I would say my niche and my focus is LGBTQIA+ advocacy and education, particularly using historical or statistical evidence to do so.
Good.
So I like to use those kind of statistics and those facts to highlight how big and diverse and beautiful our community is. Also to kind of explain the importance of visibility and inclusivity and the things that we can be doing to further those. And, you know, where needed, kind of to using them to kill with kindness a little bit, and rebut some of the worst things that unfortunately we hear about our community
on the internet. It's okay.
What?
What? No, there's still. How did you get into the content creation, I guess, aspect of what you do? Did you join TikTok like with the intention of being a creator, or was it just kind of something you did to kill? Like, what was your kind of journey to where you are right now as a creator?
I think it's interesting. I think I joined TikTok in the same way that many people do, just seeking a sense of community. It was in the middle of the pandemic, when all of us were extremely isolated. I was living by myself. I had recently come out as a lesbian, and didn't find that I was able to go out and foster a sense of community and find myself and date and talk to people like me. And so I joined TikTok intending to do so. Jokingly, I like to say I tried to join it as a dating app. I saw lesbians were using it that way. But in order to find people and to talk to people, I had to post content. I did just want to be didn't want to be a blank profile. So I was thinking about what I was good at, and I cannot dance and I cannot sing and I'm not a comedian. I realized one of the things that I can do and I am good at is research. It's something I've always loved, and decided that I wanted to lean into using that kind of professional ability that I have to try and find others like me and maybe to help some people along the way. So it was a unexpected development. I certainly never intended to be a content creator, but I'm very happy to be.
You mentioned that you came out right before the pandemic, right? And you end up like, I don't know, even how to phrase the question, but how was that like to reveal this big part of yourself and your life? And then all of a sudden now you are just solitary, right? You're not able to even explore openly. Yeah. I'm assuming, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like when you come out, that's your chance to finally be you, right? And to explore this side of you that you kind of had hidden away before. What was the experience like letting that part of you out in the open and then just being kind of shoved into a room for years at end?
Jarring, yeah. I think, unfortunately. I'm very grateful that I, for years previously, I had identified as bisexual. I had openly been doing so and had a fantastic community of friends and family and sort of support all around me. So it wasn't as huge of a leap as I know many others have had to make. But it was still difficult to finally feel like I'd nailed it. You know, I'd realized that thing that was wrong, that thing that wasn't steady. And to, like you said, immediately kind of be shoved into isolation and be unable to go out into the real world and try to figure out what existing like that would be. And so I think it is that's one of the beautiful things that social media, for all of its negative things, one of the really, really wonderful things that it's brought to us is this ability to find others living a similar existence or experience anywhere around the world. And it's I am not just relegated to going to the local gay bar and trying to meet people like me. I can find hundreds of thousands of them online.
Right.
And, you know, it's that's it.
No, that's wonderful. And so, I can cut this question out if you're not comfortable answering this, but I know you've posted pictures of you and your girlfriend, girlfriend, wife, partner. I don't know what your relationship title is, but the person you are in a romantic relationship with online, was that a TikTok thing or was that an online thing or did it work out for you? I'm just curious.
Didn't. So my current girlfriend and very hopefully last girlfriend was a meeting of friends of friends. And we'd actually run into each other every once in a while over the past couple of years. So that was not a TikTok relationship. I did, interestingly, though, have a few dates and a few briefer relationships that did come out of TikTok as a platform. So clearly they did not work out.
Right.
So I do not know if I can recommend it in good faith, but it did work.
Obviously, your content, you know, says LGBTQ+ focused. You know, that is a person, you know, my content's all over the place, right? But a percentage of it is on speaking about the same issues that you do, you know, to a lesser extent. But I know I struggled with, from a mental health perspective, kind of all how I wasn't ready for it. Right, how hard the pushback was going to be, and that's saying something, just because it's not like I'm surprised by the toxicity of the internet, but specifically when I speak about anything related to trans rights, when it comes to marriage equality, when it comes to adoption, anything related to people that are not heterosexual cishet people, I get this barrage of negativity, and I kind of have to mentally prepare myself every time I post something to know that I'm going to be attacked. And it's me speaking from an extreme point of privilege also, as someone that is in a heterosexual relationship, is a cisgender man, right? I still struggle with it. How do you personally kind of deal with and kind of process that kind of the negativity that comes from speaking about these issues?
For one, I also have to recognize that I am also speaking from an incredible point of privilege. While I am a member of the community and definitely have faced some backlash because of that, I have to also recognize that in nearly every other aspect of my life, I'm speaking from a point of privilege. And I think that is, and even within the community, I am so much more privileged than many others of us. And I think a lot of the recognition of that privilege is something that drives me to do this. Because I would rather be the one fighting back against these people. I would rather be the one dealing with their comments, and I would rather be the one pushing back on what I often find are very misguided ideas. And I would rather be doing that than someone in the community who is feeling it a little more deeply, who's in a less privileged position, or just doesn't feel as well equipped. So at the end of the day, it doesn't always feel great. I did have to learn to pick and choose my battles. I had to learn the moments that I'll save a comment to reply to it and learn the moments to just hit the block button and figuring out where that balance is, as well as remembering to enjoy the community.
I am so happy and grateful to be a part of the LGBTQI plus community.
Mm-hmm.
For all of the hatred that is out there, we are such a vibrant, beautiful group of people.
Right.
And so to get to be a part of that and to remember that it is incredible to be here,
mm-hmm.
is kind of what keeps me going through it.
And I think you mentioned some really important things there too. It's like, I think we with all issues, whether it comes to race, sexuality, gender, et cetera, that we tend to expect that it has to be the people that are hurt the most they have to be the ones to speak the most, when at the end of the day, if you're not using your privilege to speak up against it, you're only making it worse, right? In that situation, yeah. even though it's hard, you're right though. It is something you have to acknowledge. I made a video. I don't know if you saw it. This is like way before we became mutuals online. That was talking about Dylan Mulvaney, and the amount of people, and I made a video talking about the reaction too, but the amount of people that unfollowed me that were like, well, I don't agree. I don't feel comfortable. You know, I wish you'd just speak to this, was like, it clicked in my head. I was like, oh no, I feel really terrible that you ever felt comfortable on my page. Right. I was like, oh, what was I doing wrong that made you think that your transphobia was something that was ever even slightly acceptable, like that I would even want you on my page.
You just got to hit that block button.
There is, something that reminded me when you were speaking, is when people follow you and then say, wait, I don't like that you hold this position on this one issue. I see that frequently with trans rights.
Yeah.
And I am posting constantly about trans rights, and I try to make it very clear that I am not interested in sort of a conditional solidarity.
Right.
I am not interested in people following me because they see me as a permissible or a palatable member of my community.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a cis woman. Like, mm-hmm. that is not, and I don't want your support if you're not also going to support my trans brothers and sisters. And there is something I fight very hard against on my platform, mm-hmm. is allowing that call to come from inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately within the community, and I see it from lesbians, currently I'm seeing it from lesbians in particular, is there is a decent amount of transphobia,
mm-hmm.
Within our own community. And it is disappointing, and it is upsetting, and it is something that I feel is my obligation to speak up against, because I'm not leaving that to my trans sisters to fight for themselves.
Before we get to bad advice, let's kind of shift to a more positive kind of know. So we've talked about the negativity, but I think one of the things we kind of touched on was some of the positivity that also comes from speaking about these issues online. And I'd love to hear, you know, what's your experience been like, or was there anything that was kind of surprising about the reaction or the feedback you've gotten that is kind of makes you smile and makes you want to keep doing this?
Whenever I see people comment and say, I didn't know that, I didn't realize that, in a positive way, that that is an incredible piece of positive feedback that makes me want to keep doing this. It is also, it's a reminder that, other people's brains don't work the same way that mine do. And mine is, I just want to know if I'm reading about a community, I want to know how big that community is. Yeah. I want to know where that community came from. And so to find other people online who have that same sense of intellectual curiosity and who trust me to help them foster it is really incredible. And so my favorite videos that I do are the ones where I'm just talking about our size, our impact, how many of us there are. And I think it is so important to foster visibility through that, and to see the positive feedback coming from that. Because we know that people, when we have visibility, when we see people that look like us, that remind us of us, that we can relate to, we feel safer and we feel cared for and we feel accepted. And that is such a massively important tool to have in the arsenal of inclusivity, especially right now when others in the world may not feel the same. So that is a very long-winded way to say that I love seeing when people learn something they didn't already know from one of my videos, and it makes them feel better about being queer.
And I think that's, you think, but I'm much older than you. I'm 41, right? And the fact that when I was growing up, that there was no access to this kind of information, right? This whole thing. I was this deeply religious boy, and I grew up in San Francisco. My mother's best friend was a drag queen, so I was exposed to the community from a very young age. But it's still like all the things that are available now, I think, for young people are so important. Especially if you didn't say young people necessarily, but especially for young people, being able to go on TikTok, right, and being able to go online, being able to see what we're saying and what you're saying, can be life changing, right? It can be that lifeline for them to be like, okay, I have this connection to this one person, and that's gonna keep me going to see what they talk about next, and to help me learn a little bit more.
There are so many studies out there that show that having a sense of feeling like you have a sense of community is something mm-hmm. that keeps kids going when they don't have that safe space either in their school or in their home or within their friend groups. Being able to find that sense of community has been shown to keep them not only happy and healthy, but alive.
Mm-hmm.
There are other studies that kind of tangentially relate to that by showing that queer kids are far more likely to try to find communities online.
Mm-hmm.
And so where we have the ability to build something, I think mm-hmm. I feel like it's my responsibility as someone that's comfortable in the community
mm-hmm.
to try to create that space for someone.
Right. That's wonderful. I know the last thing I want to say before I get to the bad advice is I know the one thing I wasn't prepared for, because I have a pretty older, quote unquote, older audience, like 25 plus. When I went to YouTube, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, my videos started being shown to teenagers, young people. And I started getting all these messages from people like from trans kids and from, LGBTQ plus in general kids that were messaging me and commenting like, thank you for letting me see, like, I wish my dad said this, or thanks, Internet Dad. I get these comments from these young people like, thanks, Internet Dad. I needed to hear that today, Internet Dad. And I was like sitting at my computer just sobbing, because I didn't intend to, I wasn't making content for young people, for teenagers, but the fact that they're seeing it and that, maybe when their own father isn't saying that to them, but seeing someone that might look like their father saying that, I didn't even expect to get that reaction from them. And it has been, it's once again, re-energizes me in a lot of ways. They keep speaking about these issues. It's so sad that they're not getting that, and that they have to rely on Internet Dad. But for now, that's what I'm here for, right? To kind of be that, just keep on doing with it and bring that positivity, right? And so along those lines, I think this was a wonderful, I think they definitely got to know who you are. For this, and now I think we're going to get to some bad advice. And so a reminder for everyone listening in on this podcast, in case this is your first time joining us, we are not giving good advice, right? The intention here is to give bad advice, and if you take our advice, and that's on you. You can't come back here and blame us for this. And so
that's the only good advice we'll get.
Yes, that's the only good advice, is don't listen to us. Yeah. Our first question for today is, my real name is boring and I want to choose a new one. What should it be?
I'm initially tempted to say go fictional character.
Really?
Just really lean into it, like Daenerys.
Yeah.
But I think for a more practical name, I would recommend thinking up an industry.
Yeah.
Googling what tycoons of that industry historically have made the most profit off of it. And pick one of their names.
Because
I think, in my mind, that is taking the name of a rich man, and then you can use that to present yourself with the confidence of one, too.
I like it. Just Elon, I think, is a great name just for...
Nice to meet you. I'm Rockefeller. It's
right.
Like it's
beautiful.
Really...
it's funny, and this is just breaking from bad advice for a second. The story. When my wife and I were brainstorming names for kids, we used to be very big Harry Potter fans, growing up as the age that we are, especially, that was our entire childhood, going to midnight releases and everything. And Hermione was up high on our list for a long time. And we're like, no, we can't do that. Because there's a Shakespearean reference there. So be careful when picking somebody, because you never know. A franchise might mean a lot to you at one point in your life. And then things can happen to shift your perspective on
I said that is, I give a similar piece of advice to people about tattoos, and this actually good advice.
Right. It's okay. It's okay.
But when I'm talking to people about tattoos, I'm like, do not get the tattoo of a character in a show that's still happening or an actor or actress who is still with us. because I just like there are people out there who have Kevin Spacey tattooed on their leg. Like, you don't want that.
Yeah, it's just there's a little tidbit of good advice. Just be careful. You're right. Make sure they're in the history books.
Yes.
In widely studied history that you're not going to find that stuff then later on.
Yeah. Treat it like a memorial. When memorials go up, typically there's a couple of decades between whatever the incident or that person's life and the memorial. Treat it like that.
It's one of the reasons I don't have any tattoos. I've always changed my mind constantly, and I can't think of anything where I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I think my goal now, I think I'm going to get something my kids drew on my arm, because then there's literally nothing that will ever happen. I think they could make this weird.
Boys exist,
right? Yep. So I think that's my goal now. For when I officially hit peak midlife crisis, I'm gonna get like a sleeve of my kids' drawings on there. Question number two: I'm gay, but how do I tell my cat? This is tough.
I think if your cat has spent any amount of time in the room with you and has also witnessed your TikTok for you page. I think the cat might have put two and two together.
Right.
But if you are looking to have a longer discussion with Fluffy, if you're concerned they might not be all for the gay parent lifestyle, I would recommend sitting the cat down and espousing to them the virtues of a dual income, no kids lifestyle. It's a bat for them.
Right. Get them on board with the idea of it before dropping the big reveal.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And in my experience, cats are very understanding, though. I think they're probably the most understanding of all animals.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of, if a cat could speak, I could see, like, if I had told my cat, if I'd been like, I'm gay, she would have been like, does this involve me?
Right. They're kind of, they're very much just
that would have been the extent of it. And
will this affect my food?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe dogs might be a little bit even more the most supportive. Like, immediately, if you're looking for that big reaction, a dog would probably be who you tell first. But the cat's not going to really care in either way. It's kind of,
Yeah. Agreed. It's going to be a nice ambivalence. Mm-hmm.
And maybe even just like, you mentioned the For You page. Maybe you just let the cat look at your For You page for a little while. Just let them let them come to their own conclusions and see how they react to that.
Education. That'll come across a couple of accounts like ours, and in no time, ally.
Boom. Beautiful. All right. I think we nailed it. I think that's that was nice. Nice to the point. Actually, that was pretty good advice, though.
Oh, no.
We messed. All right. Question number three. Can you give me some good pickup lines?
This is a
genderless question, so we don't know who, where. We don't know their spots. Just in general, some good pickup lines.
Mm-hmm. If I'll then respond to this from the perspective of if you were coming to hit on me as a woman, I would say that, something women like myself appreciate is knowing that you maintain close personal relationships with people. And we love a family man or family woman, family person. So I think off the bat, I would probably approach someone and tell her she reminds you of your mom.
Mm. I mean, that's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
That's
off the bat.
Well, I can't imagine anybody would take that in any weird way, because and also it shows you have a good relationship with your mom, and who isn't attracted to that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can take that in any other direction, tell them they remind you your dad, your aunt, grandma, second cousin. It's just about making it known that you care for the people in your life.
I did have a pickup line contest that I won when I was 12 years old. I looked it up. And this was my submission: was if I had a million boogers, I'd still pick you.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's
a solid.
That's so good.
Poetry?
I was always a sucker. I was always a sucker for the, if you were a pirate, would your parrot be on this shoulder or this shoulder? Mm-hmm.
That's good. Nice solid. Little. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had a a genuine pickup line work on you, like bad advice aside, like someone that approached you with one and had it actually made the conversation kept going after there?
I don't think so. I had once in college, someone came up to me and gave me a business card with his that basically said, like, I think you're attractive. Here's my number. And I wasn't sure what to make of it. I think for some people that could work. For me, I was like, this feels transactional and that's weird. But I will say, while I don't think I've had any that have worked on me, I did kind of develop my own when I was going into spaces. I'm extremely feminine presenting. And so but I'm not afraid to approach people. I think in queer spaces, I wanted to make it known to either other women or non-binary individuals I was attracted to, that I was actually attracted to them and hitting on them. I was not there looking for a gay bestie.
Right.
And so off the bat, I would walk up to people at bars and just ask their permission to hit on them.
That makes sense.
It gives them the opportunity. If they're not interested, they say no thank you, and you say great, have a good night, and you move on. But if they're interested, then they know you're interested in them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you're off to the races.
My genuine, I had no confidence. So you have this wonderful confidence where you're like, that's amazing, right? When I was on the dating market, I would just, I would need someone to, so over, because my way of greeting, I would end up randomly talking to somebody at a party, and then I would just be like the most awkward, goofy person. And I needed to make sure in my mind that they weren't interested in me so that I could actually be normal. and so it would then have to be this overbearing where they would have to like just literally say, are you going to ask for my number? Before I would have any understanding that there was any interest back to me. It worked out well for me, though. It's just that apparently people like when you don't hit on them sometimes, because it just they end up like, oh, well, this is work. You're okay to talk to. And so, I guess maybe some good advice is either asking for permission if you're not in a specific space that where it is expected, I guess, to an extent. I would say don't do it at the one thing I've heard from a lot of people is don't do it at the grocery store unless it's like a hookup. There's certain grocery stores that are specific for like known for like spaces to meet other people. But if you're in just a public space, I don't think any good relationship has ever started from you yelling out of your car at somebody.
And it's remarkable how often that happens. And like just every time I'm like, what is the desired outcome?
Right.
But yeah, I will say, in public spaces, again, a bit of good advice.
Right.
If you're in a bar or a place that makes sense, ask permission. If you're in more of a public space and you're like, oh, I don't want to miss this opportunity, but I don't want to be weird, just give them your number.
That. That's a huge thing, too, I think, is just making sure, not aggressively, and don't double check their number.
I have never enjoyed when someone demanded that I give them or ask for. I much, much prefer it when people are like, and it's something I do as well. I'm like, hey, if you're interested, here's my number.
Right.
It's up to you.
Because also, if they gave you a fake number, do you think that you can still have woo them over eventually? Just move on. Anyways. all right. Let's see. I think we have time for one more.
Right.
Let's see. What is something I can put into my living room as a conversation starter for guests?
I think it's important to have a bit of a library, or at least demonstrate some academic interest.
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to say have a lot of books.
Yeah.
I want to go further, though, and say make them a bunch of college textbooks.
Okay.
And then if you really want it to be an interesting conversation, I think the best thing you can do is get a bunch of college textbooks from courses you never
took.
Okay. That has it will be a conversation starter why you have them.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. You can play that however you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like the idea of someone going down the line and trying to be like, okay, so you're interested in chemistry. No. Okay. You're interested in history. No. And it just,
why do you ask?
It's memorable conversation.
Right. I like that. I think also I don't know if this is bad advice or good advice, but if you're meeting, say you're in a new group of social, a new social circle,
I think buy a bunch of books from people you hate and see how they react.
Ooh.
Get like a Jordan Peterson book and just put it on your coffee table and just see what happens. Now you do need to make sure if they don't mention it, you do need to make sure to address it before they leave, or else they're going to make certain assumptions about you. But I think
I think
putting it out there and just seeing what happens can be a great way to really catch the vibe of this new friendship, relationship, whoever it is.
You could just put a post-it note right on like the inside cover that just says like, this was a test and you passed.
Ooh,
and
that's important.
So if they're like, ooh, what's this about? Yeah. You can
that's
just
true,
open
because
it.
If you don't have that ahead of time, then they're going to be like, oh, they really do like him. They're just saying that's a good point. So that was bad. I did give bad advice. So the bad advice is don't have a post-it.
Have no way to
prove that what you're saying.
Yeah, books on the coffee table. Get some Ayn Rand's.
You need.
If it
like
gets
it. Just stack them and just. What do you think of these?
Nope.
And just stare at them as they look through them. Yeah, pick them up.
Wide eyed, no blinking. Mm-hmm. You'll get to know them quickly.
Right away. All right, Shay. Well, before I think this was some great bad advice and some good advice by accident. I think I always had trouble sticking to just the character of being a horrible person. But before we get to, I'd like to end the show with good advice. But before we get to that, how can people find you if they enjoyed our interview today, our talk today, and they want to find you online? Where can they find you on the internet?
I am active on either Instagram, which is Shade Ain't So, with one O at the end, and TikTok Shade Ain't So with two O's at the end of that one. Those are really the only two places where I'm an active content creator, but I encourage your follow on either or both.
All right. So to end on a super positive, I think this has actually been a really wonderful, positive conversation, but on an even more positive note, I like to give my guests a chance to share with us some either life advice or a mantra or just something that has stuck with you either personally or professionally that you know meant a lot to you, either from your experience or from somebody else that you'd like to share with the world.
I do. I think because I've spent so much of this time talking about education and about how much I enjoy doing that, I think it is very important for me to end by saying education is never your obligation. So it is, I enjoy discourse and debate with people as long as it is, if it's coming from an honest place and perspective, as opposed to just being angry. But you cannot reach everyone, and there is nothing more important to protect than your own people.
Good.
So I have figured out how to do that while also debating and discoursing and educating and advocating. I've found my balance. You find yours, whoever it is that's listening, you find yours. And it is never your obligation to try to convince somebody that you deserve to exist.
That's honestly beautiful. Do you ever get, sorry, I know it's about the end. Do you ever get that? This is a little bonus section. Where, do you ever get, the thing that really annoys me is when I'll say something and they'll say, well, you're not going to, you know, aren't you afraid that by being angry about this or by being upset about this, you're going to make people not want to help, or you're going to turn your allies against what you're saying? And I hate that so much because if my one video was enough to make someone give up quote unquote allyship, then they were never an ally. They were never what?
I see it all the time. It feeds into, I mentioned earlier, conditional solidarity. This idea that you have to either provide someone with something or make them feel included in order for them to support your right to exist and live and love. And that's not allyship. Mm-hmm. That is pro quo. And if you're quid pro quoing someone's ability to live and to love and to exist, then it's a business transaction.
Right.
It's not support and it's not allyship. So it is I'll end with that.
Sorry, that was my ADHD kind of continuing this over and over. But thank you so much. This was genuinely wonderful. I could honestly talk to you for even longer, but I know people watch this during their commutes, and so this is the where we're gonna end. Thank you again. I look forward to seeing more of your stuff online.
No, thank you so much for having me. This was a very fantastic and sort of engaging experience for me. So I really appreciate it.
And that was Bad Advice on a Wednesday. If you enjoyed today's show, please like, please subscribe, share it with your friends, drop a 5-star review. You can always support us financially at patreon.com/thespeechprof. All links of everything we talked about will be available in the show notes. And most importantly, remember, this is intended to be bad advice. Please do not listen to anything we say. I'm sorry.
Okay, dope rhyme slinger, good advice giver. Listen for a second, let me try and paint a picture. Raises coming up and you want your check bigger. Moving quiet just won't get you seen. Your boss a clicker,